the James Suckling Podcast. Wine ratings, reports, interviews, and more.
Hola, buenos días.
Buenos días, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien.
Hi.
Hi, Michelle. How are you? ¿Cómo estás? It's been a while, right?
Thank you very much. Yeah.
It's been 2 years.
Almost 2 years, yeah. Hmm.
Would you want to start with telling me a bit about the 2020 vintage, which is quite hot and dry vintage for Chile, for central Chile, right?
Listen, just to explain a little bit about the importance of 2020 for us, and I will put everything in Michel's hand, because he's the one that's going to explain in detail.
But exactly.
That the 2020 vintage is very important for us because it's been 25 years since a very profound alliance was sealed between the chairwoman of the advisory board of Baron Philippe Rothschild, at the time Baroness Philippine Rothschild, Baron Philippine Rothschild, and on the other hand, Don Eduardo Guilizaste Tagle, at the time the chairman of Concha y Toro, which encountered and got together the best of two worlds. So on one hand, Chile brought the terroir, the magnificent terroir of Puente Alto for Cabernet Sauvignon, particularly for blending, I would say, and Michel will explain much better than I do. But the point is that Chile brought the terroir to grow Cabernet Sauvignon, exceptional climatic conditions, exceptional soils, and the combination with the people, with the vineyards first and the people afterwards. And particularly, you know, that 2020 is a vintage where, you know, we all the time look at terroir, we look at the climate, we look at the soil, we look at the vineyard, but we miss one component that's extremely important, which is men and women that work and put their hands into make possible the harvest, et cetera, et cetera. So the growing season and afterwards the growth of the grapes. So this 2020 for us particularly is a harvest, and you may call me crazy, sorry, but Michel, I'm not sure that Michel is in agreement with me, but I definitely think that 2020, due to all the difficulties that we had, has the soul, has the energy, has, you know, all the intensity of the people that it's brought into the wine. And it's a wine that celebrates the encounter of people at the end of the day, because wine is one of the most effective and one of the most it's a drink that actually puts together people. So at the end of the day, this encounter of two people, Baron Philippine de Rothschild and Don Eduardo Guilizaste Tagle, that gave birth to Alma Viva, that sealed this profound alliance that today is stronger than ever, and has taken us to the 25 years. It's important because I like to say this because of one thing. So Chile brought the knowledge of the terroir. So the Chilean expertise is based on knowing the terroir, the different terroirs of Chile. And on the other hand, France brought the unique savoir-faire, the chateau tradition. So one vineyard, one winery, one team dedicated to the creation of an exceptional wine has brought all the winemaking traditions, all the, you know, from the follow-up of the vineyards to the date of harvest, to the winemaking process, but in a way where you transmit what you have in the vineyard into the wine. And so, you know, with this combination, I believe that Alma Viva with this celebration of the 25th anniversary, is a successful case of this encounter. And the 2020, which Michel, I'm sure that he has a bottle somewhere, is going to show you, you know, this celebration of the 25th anniversary. And he's going to talk about the wine. So I won't talk anymore. I'll just be here tasting the wine with you and Michel, okay?
Thank you, Manuel. Muchas gracias. Michelle, tell me about 2020. I already tasted it. I thought it was a pretty elegant effort for Alma Viva, pretty voluptuous. I mean, again, it's a hot vintage. It's a warm vintage, a dry vintage especially. So a lot of concentration for most of the wines, but it's hard to keep the freshness, that kind of a zingy character or freshness in wine. How do you make this blend? I can recall it's 68% of Cabernet Sauvignon, 24% of Carmenere. It seems a little bit more Carmenere than before, right?
No, that's quite a normal percentage of Carmenere. That can be between 19 to 25, So it's mm-hmm. is within the normal range that we have. But first of all, we have to remind that Puente Alto is a place where we can naturally have this wonderful balance between freshness and ripeness. Freshness mainly because to the proximity that we have with the Andes, with the mountains, that makes that we have we are globally in a rather late terroir. We start budding a bit late and we finish most of the cycles a bit later, mainly because of this cooler winds that come down from the mountains and refresh the days in summer and at the end of the day and refresh the nights also too. So we have this on one side, and on the other side, as the conditions, the climatic conditions are normally dry, we can harvest when we want, so we can get the full ripeness we want. And at the same time, we have this late ripening process normally, but mainly that we have both freshness and ripeness. So this is something that we have normally in Puente Alto as a general matter. But of course, 2020 was quite different, in a sense that it was extremely dry. We had only 64 millimeter of rainfall between May and September in winter, which is about 75% less than average. And the temperatures have been quite high all over spring and summer. So the year was clearly marked by the drought, by the heat. And we clearly thought at the beginning that this would be the main issue of the year. But within the special sanitary context that we had, it was finally the real blessing, as we were naturally obliged to pick very early, about 2 weeks earlier than usual. And we were also obliged to pick faster than usual. In this particular context, which was a big the big challenge, and we had probably more motivation to go faster, and maybe in a normal year would have done it a bit slower, but we finally made it at the right time, the right moment. And if we normally picked in 8, 9, 10 weeks, we pick everything in about 5 weeks altogether, and we were able to have at the same time the attention, especially with all the batches that we picked in at the beginning in March, but also concentration, volume, and structure with the batches that we probably picked a bit later. So it was a very challenging intake, not an easy one. In fact, we changed the order of picking of some batches. Then we learned on what we could get in terms of tension and complexity according to the batches of the vineyard. And finally, as you said, we had this good results in the sense that we have concentration, we have structure, a bit like what we had in 2017, which was also very dry and warm. But we have also this elegance and smoothness of the tannins, volume that we had a bit, I would say, in 2019. And for me, the 2020, it is a bit of a blend between the elegance of and the volume in my thought of the 2019 and the structure Emperor of the 2017. Quite different to 2018, which was very well balanced, but probably not as full in the middle, a bit more vertical, a bit more classical. I think that 2020 and 2019 are a bit wider, but clearly a bit more structure, like what we can have on hot and dry years like 2020 or 2017.
So. Yeah, I feel a lot of wines have a little bit more sweetness on the palate. It's more like a new world Of course, Chile is New World, and it's very flattering. It's very voluptuous in a way. A lot of 2020s have that sweetness. Do you find that in your wine in 2020? Do you try to avoid this kind of a sweetness on the palate, the fruit sweetness?
I think that Almaiva has always on the one side a certain finesse and elegance, and also a certain sweetness in the tannins with. I would say more than sweetness, I would say certain creaminess that comes not only from the sun that we have, but from this particular blend of Cabernet Sauvignon that brings the structure and the Carmenere that brings this this roundness in the blend. I think that it's not something that we have only in 2020, something that we have in our wine, this creaminess that makes the wines very approachable at the beginning, but in 2020 we have also a certain tension that gives more elegance to the wine.
That's what I like about Almaviva. It's always like that tension, that tautness, that texture on the palate. It's almost like a bit ethereal on the palate. It's a full body wine, but it's also very elegant. It's also very polished, silky. That's the beauty of Almaviva, I would say, as a hallmark of the wine. And for 2020, I thought it was kind of a really nice, elegant effort, because you have to keep that freshness, that tension, and in such a dry and warm climate. Which is, you already have that concentration of flavor intensity, but that texture is very hard to get in a warm and dry vintage like 2020. Anything else? The blend you basically just you said it's pretty normal, right? 68% of Cabernet Sauvignon and 24% of Carmenere. So maybe a little bit more. I checked your past vintages, like around 20% Carmenere, right? So what's Carmenere doing here in 2020? Is it? I taste a lot of 2019 Carmeneres are really good. How is Carmenere in 2020, for example?
It was a very good vintage also for Carmenere, but surprisingly, we were able to pick the Carmenere about 4 weeks earlier than usual, without any greenness and without any vegetal taste, and with a good volume in mouth. And normally we picked the Carmenere at the beginning of May, finish at mid-May. This time we picked on the 8th of April and finish on 17th of April. So quite early.
Quite early picking for Carmenere.
Because the drought and the heat finally generated a high concentration of sugar earlier than usual, but also a good ripeness of the tannins, and which is important because sometimes we think that when the year is very warm, we have very low acidity. But I would say that when we pick very early, most of the time, we have not lost acidity. That means that in this year, like 2017 and 2020, the level of acidity is quite good. Sometimes when we are in a cool year, then we wait, we lose more acidity than when we finally harvest very early. Yeah? So it's something that we have seen in 2020, and we have seen also on the Carmenere that we picked before with very good but also very surprising result. And most of the time, the percentage of Carmenere is also connected to the level of the herbal character, spiciness that we have in the Carmenere that we want to balance with the Cabernet Sauvignon. That means that when, for example, 2017 was very warm too, but this special character of the Carmenère was a bit more important, and we use a bit less Carmenère phenolate in the blend. So it depends on this. It has to bring the good part of the Carmenère, which is the smoothness of the tannins, but without bringing this typical character of the variety. It brings in a certain freshness, but we have to find the good balance between both.
Did the vines suffer a little bit more in this vintage, like the stress? Did you irrigate a little more for 2020?
Yes.
To make it more balanced?
We learned from 2017, because in 2017, we had very low yields, about 30% less than usual. And in 2020, as 2019 was also very dry, not as dry, but with only 150 millimeters. So we started the irrigation directly in winter, and not at the end of not in October, in spring like we did. And globally, we had in our site no problems of water supplies, and we were able to do what we wanted. And it helped us finally to get this result, but with normal yields, which was not the case in 2017. To say that, of course, the vines might suffer in some certain way, but we were able to bring the water when we wanted. And I would say that this year, sometimes they suffer less because we remove the grapes quite earlier and we have more time to make reserve with still some leaves in April and May. Sometime when we do the picking later, then we have some cold after the leaves start to fall down, then finally they probably suffer more because they have less time to make reserve.
When was Cabernet Sauvignon picked? You said Carmenere was picked quite early. I thought most people would also pick the Cabernet Sauvignon quite early in 2020, right?
Yeah, because the concentration of sugar was quite high very early. And then the quality of tannins was also good quite early, but I would say most of the grapes have been harvested the few weeks earlier than usual. Yeah.
So you got already 25 years. So what about the next 25 years? If you're going to talk about 50 years, normally we talk about 50 years and 100 years, and you're halfway through. We know Chile is a very young wine country. But 25 years is such an achievement. I don't know, maybe Manuel would talk about a bit about the next 25 years. What's your plan in Chile and in the world?
Listen, the first thing that's the most important is that when we were looking at the 25th anniversary, we're very, very excited about the 25th anniversary. But then we looked at our mother companies. So on one hand, Baron Philippe de Rothschild, that was founded in 1853. And on the other hand, Concha y Toro, that was founded in 1883. So you're talking about over 300 years of experience between the two mother companies. And we're like, okay, 25 years is nice. It's a good start. Listen, very excited, extremely excited, because I think that Almaviva has one of the most important things. And listen, I come from a family that's in the wine business. I started tasting wine at the age of 5 and always listened to my grandfather, which he went to, he was more on the general management, on the management side of the business. But always listening to my grandfather, I think that what was extremely interesting and what Baron Philippe de Rothschild and on Eduardo Grisaste Tagle had in mind was the long-term project. This was a profound alliance to make something to last for 100 or 200 years or even more than that. You know that we make wines that will be enjoyed in probably 25, 50 years, and we're not going to be present here to to see how they evolve. But this is what we have in mind. This is part of the Chateau tradition as well, is to see wines or to make wines that are going to last for quite a long time. And we definitely believe that consistency and these very solid pillars that we've started with, the knowledge of the terroir in Chile for over 100 years from Concha y Toro, the knowledge of the traditions in Bordeaux from Baron Philippe, getting those two together are two extremely solid pillars when you have a solid vision. And bear in mind, Zekunde, that, you know, 25 years ago, there was not many people looking at Chile. So it was audacious. It was an entrepreneurial spirit. It was someone that was, you know, wanted to go a step forward and bring something new into the wine world. And so with that in mind, we've pursued that same vision. Okay, we have pursued that same vision with very solid. So for the first 25 years, we've mainly dedicated, as I was saying, to fully Alma Viva. And that Alma Viva, you know, all the decisions that we're taking from the terroir selection, from the vineyard, from everything that we've done in the vineyard, all the winemaking, et cetera, labeling, et cetera. This is the first year. This is the first year that we have a significant change in our label, as you could see on the bottle. Everything has been extremely consistent, extremely, you know, very well defined where we want to go. So we know that we are at the beginning of a long path. We know that we are just baby steps almost in the wine world, but taking advantage of that experience has helped us on focusing in Alma Viva for 25 years. Last year, we decided to launch Evo into the market, and it's right now we're going to consolidate this the launch of the Second Vin and through La Place de Bordeaux. So that's our main goal, and we were the first ones to go through La Place de Bordeaux, and no one knew about it. Today, you have many negociants, you have many wineries talking about La Place de Bordeaux. Alma Viva was born to be sold through La Place de Bordeaux, so, and to be side by side with the Grand Vin of all over the world, and from particularly from Bordeaux, with these Grand Vins that made history and had a very long history. So with that in mind, our path has been to solidly build the pillars and consistently pursue that vision that we have. So continue to taking care of nature, which is at the end of the day, our unique treasure that we have is this Cabernet Sauvignon planted in 1978 in Puente Alto. That's the heart of Alma Viva. So we definitely need to take care. And we've been adapting. Michel has been doing, and Michel and his team have been doing a great work on how to be more careful, how to take more care of our vineyards, how to be more respectful to the environment, because it's, as I was saying, the treasure that we have to take care of, to make sure that these vines are going to last as much as possible. Listen, in Toro region, when I was in my previous life in Toro, in my previous life, we're taking care of vineyards that were 150, 180, 200 years old. So with that in mind, our goal is to take care of this vineyard, to continue making exceptional wines. And Michel mentioned something that's very important. You know, the conditions, the environmental conditions have been changing. It's in our, it's our responsibility to take care of the environment, but at the same time, it's our responsibility to take care of our vineyards. And with that in mind, we have adjusted, as Michel was saying, we had to fine tune some of the techniques that are used in the vineyard to make sure that it's going to continue, they're going to continue producing wines. And so that's on one hand. So take care of the unique treasure that we have. And then afterwards, is to, with the same vision, told the team, so Michel, Elba, and then Jorge Castillo, totally focused on making a Grand Vin, which is Alma Viva. And now that we have a new baby since last year that's going through La Place de Bordeaux, which is Epu, to take care of the wines and continue to pursue this vision. If you ask me if there's something different to come at this moment, I'm afraid I cannot say anything.
You're now the next 25 years, you're going to target at the younger consumers, not just the, you know, people with a suit to drink in Alma Viva. You're going to target, the people who are wearing t-shirts.
Well, do you think that we're going to be here for 25 more years, Michel? I hope so. And I toast to that, because that will mean that we are still in good shape.
I'm not so young, so I know exactly where I will be in 25 years.
You will be here. You will be here. Still
be
making
drinking
Alma Viva.
The wines, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Michel, can you show the bottle of Alma Viva? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very discreet. That's yes. Very elegant. It's very discreet. You don't want to make it a sassy statement. You don't need to. You just want to be discreet with 25th anniversary. Maybe do something bigger in 50. Do something more flashy. A little more flashy in 50. 25. A that's bit. A beauty. A little Did more you know, flashy in 50.
Zikundi, do you know that I think it was the 15th anniversary. The only difference that was on the label was the harvest, the year of harvest, that was in gold instead of black. That was the only change ever. So to celebrate the 25th anniversary, and on top of that, to celebrate this this exceptional wine that you're talking about Almaviva 2020, where you know we have this all this energy, all the strength of our team that I believe it's proven to be in the wine. All this, well. I would say it's a mix between tension and energy that you can, the soul, really it's the soul of all the people that has worked through the harvest under such difficult condition. But yes, we need to transmit that and to dress in the appropriate way to celebrate with the 2020 vintage.